Hello there, and welcome to this episode of Force Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week, special guests Mary and Chaz Perdue join the show to talk about their experiences on the Galactic Star Cruiser. Now, before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter and Hive at Force Ghost Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok just by searching Force Ghost Conversations. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening set of choice. Plus, Force Ghost Conversations is live on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there will be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Finally, please be sure to check out our Tee Public store to buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it is time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. All right, everybody, welcome back to another installment of Force Ghost Conversations, and I am so thrilled to welcome first-time guests on Force Ghost Conversations, Mary and Chaz Perdue. Now, they are, of course, no strangers to the Star Wars podcasting realm, and of course, it is my great pleasure to welcome them to the show here. So let's start with you, Mary. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Thank you so much for having us on.
Of course, of course. Chaz, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Also pretty good. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, of course, you both are here to chat all about the Halcyon and your experiences on the Galactic Star Cruiser. But let's go back to the beginning. Long before the opening of the Galactic Star Cruiser, also known as the Halcyon, what were your initial reactions to it even being announced? I know that you're both big fans of Star Wars and of the Disney parks, and I'm just curious to get a sense of your immediate thoughts for this endeavor. So let's start with you, Chaz. What were your immediate thoughts upon the announcement of this endeavor?
I, first of all, thought that was really cool. They were doing a whole Star Wars themed cruise on land hotel idea. Sounded really cool, looked cool in all the concept. Originally never expected to go on it though, but it had my full curiosity from the moment it was announced.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bonkers idea to begin with, right? But it's like on everyone's bucket list of like, wow, they're gonna do this, Disney's gonna do this, let's see what the possibilities are. Mary, what did you think when you first heard about this initiative?
I thought it was fantastic. We had done three Disney Cruise Lines cruises, you know, actually at sea cruises. Mm-hmm. The third one that we did was actually the Star Wars Day at Sea, the 7-day cruise back in, I think, 2017, maybe. And so we were like, okay, great. You know, we're thinking it's going to be along the same lines as a Disney cruise, right, and probably the same price point. So we were absolutely excited about it, talking about it. Yes, we're going to try to do this. But then when the price point was announced, we're like, whoa, hold on. You know, so, which unfortunately is what happened with a lot of people. And I think that, you know, obviously has been, you know, to its detriment. And the reason this is the last week, or by the time probably this airs, you know, it will have already closed. But, you know, at our recording time, you know, this is the last week, the last three cruises are on it over the next 5-6 days. So, but yeah, I mean, we were excited about it, thought it looked fantastic. We've done celebrations, we've done Star Wars weekends, like I said, the Day at Sea with Disney Cruise Line, and we were there for it. But that price point hit hard. So we had to kind of, like Chaz said, we had to kind of step back and go, whoa, can we do this? You know, so.
But fortunately, you saved up your pennies and you found a way to make it work one way or the other. And now you will be one of, you know, a good handful, but a handful of folks that can say you've actually been on it, right? And let's go back to June of 2023 now, when you both had your voyage on the Galactic Star Cruiser. Now, before we get into that, though, because I really want to dive deeply into your experiences, I'm curious, did you watch any videos to prep? And basically, you know, what I mean by that is, how much did you know about the Star Cruiser and the experience of it all
before you set foot on the ship, the hotel, in the space, whatever you want to call it. Chaz, let's start with you there.
I didn't look at anything. I've wasn't even out of just not trying to spoil myself. I just never really came across anything when I was online. Right. So I avoided spoilers just out of nature.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Interesting. Mary, I want to hear your juxtaposition maybe to this one.
Yeah, I was on the other side of that.
You were the complete other side of it.
I was the complete other side. You know, our mutual friend Dan Zare went on that first media cruise. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he put up some things. He never really put any spoilery things up, but he did put a few things up. You talking about it and giving examples of what was going on. And then some of the other influencers, you know, also put short videos here and there. Most of them did not put the entire story out there. Most of those influencers, you know, still tried to keep the story, the main storyline, quiet. And so it wasn't spoiled. But you still knew a few things that were going to happen. So I was very aware of what the sort of the scope of it was going to be and what to expect on the base level. But I think this is one of the issues that Disney had. It's just really hard to explain what it is and what you experience. Yeah. And so even the videos that I had watched, the people that I had listened to on podcasts and whatnot, you got a glimpse of what it was going to be, but until you're actually there doing it, it doesn't really spoil it, you know, because there's so much more to what people let out there and talked about.
Yeah. So what you see online is only the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. Absolutely. When it comes to this experience. But I'm going to definitely have to keep that in the back of my mind that at least, Mary, you had a lot, 100% more knowledge about this before going on to the spaceship, the hotel, whatever you want to call it, versus you, Chaz. So I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind as we're going through this conversation here to see how that may or may not have affected your experiences as you embarked on this journey. And I'm ready to get into some of this here. And okay. Basically, and Mary, explain this to me in a bit more detail here. How did you go from quote unquote Earth to the Halcyon? How does that leap happen? How do you go from our planet to a galaxy far, far away? And then what were your immediate thoughts when you made that journey?
Well, it's pretty cool the way they do it. I mean, if you go by the Star Cruiser on land and you look over at it behind the trees, it really is just a rectangular building with no windows or very few windows.
Yeah.
But you pull up, you go through a security gate. I mean, you have to have a reservation to be able to get up to the Star Cruiser. And so you go through a security gate. They have a little droid sitting there, you know, smiling at you, and as droids can smile, but it's like, you know, it's kind of like Chopper, that type of a droid. And, but you know, the security agent makes sure that you're there, you're supposed to be there. If you're coming in your personal car or, you know, being dropped off, by Uber or whatever, other people arrive by, buses, I guess, or not really buses, but Disney, if you're staying at a Disney resort, I think they brought in like minivans and those kinds of things bring people in. So then you just go to the terminal, and I'm sure you've seen pictures where people have stood in front of the wall and it says the Star Cruiser, Galactic Star Cruiser, you know, on the concrete wall.
Yeah.
And we arrived about 11 o'clock, 11:30. Quite a few people were already there. You start boarding at 1:00. So while we were waiting, we were fortunately underneath the terminal, so we were in the shade. But they brought people water, frozen grapes, you know, walked through and made sure everybody was okay. You dropped off your luggage there. It went into, you know, just a bell area. And you didn't see it again, you know, so when you walked on, you only had whatever you wanted to have in your hands. you went down a long hallway, and at the end of the hallway is the Halcyon logo. And so a lot of people, you know, stopped there and took pictures. They did show a short video, basically a safety video, and sort of to let you know what to expect. But I mean, like anything else, you have to be safe. But if anybody is aware of Anthony, Mark Daniels, not Anthony Daniels, Mark Daniels, who works for Disney and has done a lot of Star Wars stuff with them. He is the person in the video telling you, you know, all the safety stuff. So it's kind of cool. But, and then you, so many, I guess it was probably about 20 people at a time got onto an elevator. But it was your launch. So you launch up to the Halcyon in space, and, you know, it's very well themed. It's not like you're on any kind of elevator that you would, you know, get onto in a regular building. And of course it had screens along the top edge, not the whole wall, but just along the top edge. And so you could see the blue and the green and whatever outside the window. And then when you launched, then you went into space and then you could see the Halcyon coming in to focus and then docking with the Halcyon. So it was as if you were in a shuttle going up and launching in. And then when you get docked, they open the doors and you walk right into the atrium. And they do it a little bit like an actual Disney cruise, where they do take a family at a time. Mm-hmm. And then they escort you through the atrium, give you a couple of heads up about, you know, certain things, and they take you straight to your cabin. By the time you get to your cabin, your luggage has already arrived and sitting there waiting for you. So that was kind of nice.
Not bad.
And then they explain, this cast member or crew member explains everything in your cabin and how things work and so forth. And then from that point, you sort of, you know, start working through your missions, working through your schedule, and that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But the atrium is, you know, you walk in and you go, whoa. You know, it's just, and again, I'd seen videos of it, but it's just a very, very nicely done, beautiful colors, crisp, clean, futuristic, space, you know, Star Wars-y, the whole nine yards. And it's just like any, if you've been on any cruise ship, it's that when you first walk in, you're going, okay, or the main lobby of any of the nice resorts, you're like, okay.
Right.
You know, so it gives you that little wow factor as you walk
totally,
in.
Totally. Now, as a person that had no, you know, spoiling to what it looked like on the inside already, Chaz, what did you have that wow factor as well?
Yeah, I was more just kind of really pleased with how everything looked. It was just the whole interior designing, just they really did make it feel immersive all the way through.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I mean, this is just such a wild, like, just a whole atrium. That's just amazing, that the thought and the level of detail that then the precision that goes into such a thing like this. I mean, it's sad that it's going away. I'm already disappointing myself at the end of all this already. But I think some of the coolest things about the Halcyon is that, you know, I think you both may have sat in on the Disney Parks panel at Anaheim, or I know I sat on. I don't know if you both, but you did. Okay. And when they talked about the Halcyon, they were like, all right, here are all the different choices that you can make. They showed a slide and it was just like every single avenue and turn you make is a different choice. And just, there's so many things to possibly do on this ship that you're just like, how could you even do it all in one endeavor?
You cannot.
You can't. That's so right.
Impossible.
It's impossible.
But I want to talk about what you both did on your cruises and your expeditions. And, you know, what did your itinerary resemble for, like, even just day one? Let's start with there. And, you know, let's talk through some of the choices that you made, the activities you underwent, the food. Let's talk about it all. Chaz, what was your itinerary on the first day here?
Well, we basically had the same itinerary. Like, we did the same things up to a certain point.
Okay,
got
cool.
on. First thing we did was we went to the cafeteria because Smart. How to get
it's not a cafeteria. It's a dining room. It's the dining Crown of Corellia dining room. Now Ooh. Get it right.
Ooh. Crown of Corellia. Now we're talking.
We went to the eating room. which they have really interesting foods. Like it everything's designed to feel immersive, and it was all really good too. After that, we went back to our room, pretty sure, for like a split second to check on something, but then there was muster. That's how you say that, right? Muster?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Had muster. Captain and the cruise director, you know, do their, like what a normal cruise would have, the whole
sure.
speech and all that. But then it gets into the lore of the story. Things are happening. Beforehand, you have the Play Disney app with the data pad, I can't remember what it was called, and on it you have contacts you can message, and from there, like, you get a first message that asks you some questions, and depending on how you answer, eases you into like your first bit of what storyline you want to pursue. Wow. I went with the, because it asks you what, like, it gave you a list of people to choose from, right? And like what you might want to be interested in doing. Is that how it went?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Like, and you know, are you on the resistance side? Are you on the First Order side? Are you on the Jedi? You know, it sort of went those routes. Are you like Hondo? Are you a smuggler? Mm. You know, so those were the questions were framed in a way that they didn't come out and actually say something like that, but it was,
you know, were subtle.
Yeah, they were subtle. They were subtle. But you knew what you were answering. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. So
Chaz went many paths.
Yeah, I was saying, how did you answer some of those questions, Chaz?
Well, the first one is just, it just sets you up with like a beginner kind of quest storyline thing to do. I chose the Jedi one. Ooh. So after muster is over, before muster is when you do the questions, and then you get another message basically says to go talk to one of the people. So for if you're doing the Jedi, it was what were they called?
Sajas.
The Sajas. I had to go talk to a Saja and, you know, say a certain phrase, let them know what you're about. And because you're in a proximity to the character later on your data pad, you get like another message giving more instructions or just giving more kind of exposition. Mm. And then after that, you kind of just go do whatever. If you see a group of people that are with one of the main character cast doing something, you can just walk right up and get involved, and because you're near them, the data pad and your account will ping off of whatever is keeping track of stuff, and then after that is over, you'll get a message from the character either giving more exposition or saying, hey, at this time meet me here. I kind of did everything. I was going down the Jedi path. I went down Jedi. I went down. I didn't really get down the smuggler one at all. Like, I tried to, but like something didn't line up and it didn't. I missed some kind of event flag that just, it didn't let me go any further.
Mm-hmm.
I did First Order. I did Resistance and I did Saja. at the end, because we both got it. At the end of the quests, you get a title. I was hoping to get all three. I only got two of the three that I was working on. I got the First Order one, which was, I think it was First Order Loyalist, or it was remember. I'd have to actually load up and look. But the Jedi one was Holocron Archivist, which we, my mom and I both got, because she was going mainly down the Jedi Resistance path.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you were kind of dabbling your toes into everything.
Yeah.
I don't know what side I am. I'm on the Resistance. I'm First Order. I'm a Jedi. I'm a smuggler. We'll see where I land.
That's kind of how I did it.
That was a unique approach. Mary, were you a bit more of a straight shooter when it came to choosing a side?
Yeah, a little bit. I answered the questions more along the Resistance side of it, and then as you go along and you get additional questions, or you meet up with people like Chasset, or you tag along, and so I ended up really more Jedi versus Resistance kind of a thing. You know, both together, but more Jedi, you know, heavy. And then one of the things that we didn't mention was the fact that the reason that we cruised when we did is Dan Zaer put together through the travel agency he always works with this trip. And so there were 19, 20 of us of the CWK family that went, and we all chose different paths. I mean, everybody was all over the place. And so, you know, you'd pass each other in the hall, whatever. And, you know, I was in the engineering room for probably 30 minutes helping to hide Chewbacca from the First Order. You know, so, but like Chaz said, that first day, you know, the first 4 or 5 hours, everybody basically does the same thing. And that's where the story, you know, starts. And of course, the muster, when you go to your muster station, like you would on a regular cruise, that was part of a safety thing as well, that if something would happen, if something out of story would happen, that you would, you know, there would be an emergency, you know, what would you do? But also things going on in the story, if something happens, you know, that's where you would congregate. And so everybody talks about how small the Star Cruiser is, and it really does only have like 100 rooms. And, you know, the rooms are, you know, from 3 to 8 people, but there's only a couple of rooms, handful of rooms that will hold, you know, more than 4 people. So you're only looking at about 250, 300 people on a cruise.
Right.
So everybody fits into that atrium, you know, because when you're doing that main story at the end, you know, everybody is in there together. And when you do the muster, everybody is in there together. And there was a nice little shop that you could go in and, you know, do some shopping and buy. And everything was in universe. It was in the story. You know, you weren't buying something that had Disney World on it. It was Cinderella Starline and, you know, the Halcyon and, you know, that type of thing. So, but, you know, we did the, and we actually did like a little tour. You know, one of the crew members would take you on a tour of the ship. And you really were only on about 2 levels as far as things going on in the story. Mm-hmm. There were about 3, maybe 4 levels of rooms, with the rooms, with your stateroom. And our stateroom, all of our staterooms were together, the whole CWK group. We were just one right after the other, which was nice.
Nice, yeah.
And we were on one of the main floors where the activities were going on. So that was really nice. We didn't have to do a lot of extra walking, you know, up and down or riding the elevator or whatnot. But you really did start that story right after muster. You're answering those questions like Chas said, and you're going through, and our group, we all did, you know, very different things. And what was fun was at the end of the evening, you know, after you did missions, they had 2 different seating times for dinner, their activity, you know, and there's the dinner show by Gaia. And so one of the missions was getting Gaia onto the ship, you know, so that was just, and that started right off the bat during muster, and during the captain's reception, and just, you know, different little things like that just going on throughout the evening. And you know, you were constantly, I know it sounds bad, people talk about going into the parks and having to always use your phone, but in this case you really did. You had to have that data pad out, because that's what propelled you through the story. And so you're always looking, and it would ding if you had a message, you know, or whatever. And and you would respond. And from that, you know, but like Chaz said, it might be a group of people and you go, oh, I'm going to go see what those people are doing. And you just kind of walk over and get in the group and follow them around and do this or that. And one of the things that everyone was given, everyone had a specific Halcyon magic band. So, you know, with the RFID, that was the other way that they were tracking where you were and how close you were to, you know, certain characters and so forth. But by Monday evening, after all the missions were done, we'd had dinner, and everything was kind of quiet. The bulk of our CWK group headed to the Sublight Lounge and, you know, took over a booth and pulled a couple of tables over and chairs and, you know, we closed down the Sublight Lounge while Dan's 10-year-old son Mason was over playing Sabacc at the Sabacc table. He was the Sabacc king. And, I will tell you, we sat around and we recorded our thoughts for the day. And Dan put it both nights, both the first night and the second night, we closed down the Sublight Lounge both nights with our group. And I still haven't gone back and listened to those two podcasts. You know, I think it's one of those things. It's like, you know, people say too soon. Yeah, too, it's too soon.
Yeah. 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 Let it close down first and then
yeah,
give it a couple months and then yeah, go back when it's, you know, you've had time to process to relive yes, some of those memories again. I mean, I can understand for those people at home that maybe had their trepidations, not because of like the costs and stuff like that, but how much there is to do at the Halcyon, right? It sounds like just from both of your experiences already that you've shared so far that, I mean, you could do the gambit of literally doing everything or doing nothing. And just like, there's something to do for everybody on this. But at the same time, you're like, I'm one of those people where I'm like, oh my gosh, I could be doing this. And like, you try to pack in too much and that could almost be overwhelming to a large degree too. But I think you both did it the right way for yourselves. And, you know, I think, you know, it sounds like you both, at least on the first day, had such a great time. And obviously you're still willing to talk about it. So yeah, it sounds like it was a wonderful experience so far. And the fact that you got to do it with, you know, people of the community, friends that you know, and you've met at celebrations and other mm-hmm, conventions, and to have this experience with them too, who are also like-minded Star Wars fans. I mean, that's just icing on the cake when it comes to all this. Like, you're not just meeting random strangers on a cruise. You're there with some of your best buds, right?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, we had all talked or texted. Some of us had met, like you said, at celebrations or whatever before, but a lot of us, it was just from the CWK Live and, you know, talking back and forth on that, like we all do on Monday nights and being in the CWK cafe and sharing things there. And, you know, so we did do a meetup the night before the cruise over at Disney Springs. And nice. So that was, and it was really good because, you know, it's like you knew the names of some people and you sort of knew the face from a little teeny tiny picture on Facebook, yeah, but it's like, oh yeah, there. So it was kind of like, it was just like having a family reunion and you hadn't seen everybody for 20 years. You know, we just all just immediately, which made it just that much more fun once we got on to the Halcyon. But even like on the second day, you go to Batuu and the same thing. It's like whatever you had done the first day in the first evening, those missions, then that propelled you through what you did on Batuu. Mm-hmm. And so I know a lot of people had the question, and I was one of them when they, you know, when all this first was advertised, I thought, why would I want to go to Batuu? I go to Batuu all the time.
Right.
For somebody who doesn't, yeah, great. But then you realize that's part of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, that propels what you did the evening before. You have specific missions to do. Plus, you get a lightning lane for Rise. You get a lightning lane for Smugglers.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt.
That didn't hurt. Of course, Smugglers was down that morning. It didn't pop up.
It was down for a few hours.
Yeah, almost noon. I know we were over there when it came back online, and I'm like texting Dan and a bunch of them.
Yeah, everyone get on now.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, come this way. So, you know, so that, but you literally on the Halcyon at Batuu, you would pass each other and And then at the end, both evenings, at the end of the evening, we all would kind of talk about, well, what did you do today? What were your mm-hmm. missions? What did you get to see? And everybody, you know, some things we did together or we did similar experiences, but there were so many things that, like, I think I was one of the few that did the hiding Chewbacca. Right, you know, so yeah. Everybody's like, you did what? Chewie was on the Halcyon Halcyon, you know, so depending on what, you know, and that's where I was kind of on the resistance path to begin with before I went, you know, sort of full Jedi. You know, so yeah, it was interesting to come back as a group and talk about what we had right. done.
Yeah, it's almost like you were selling each other a reason to go back on again, because you're like, oh, you did this? That would have been so cool to do. I wish I could do that. Well, maybe next time I do this path and maybe I get to do that type of experience later on. I liked what you asked or what you noted a few seconds ago, where you're like, Batu is a different experience based off of your choices here. And I'm very intrigued to explore that a little further here. So, Chaz, how did the Batu of it all play into your mix and match, if you will, of different choices throughout the course of your experience?
Right? You just don't know what you just asked, Anthony.
So where I chose to do my like multi-path story line, I quite literally got sent multiple different places and was constantly running around doing these three missions. Or the three storylines. But I got them done pretty fast. The rest of my day was spent doing all of the normal Batu missions that mm-hmm. are just there to do whenever you're there with the data pad. And so multiple times the group saw me walking just all around and just back and forth, just doing all these different missions. I noticed that on the data pad, you can get outfits for your character that just kind of display, and you can get titles, and there was an inventory thing where you can get items, and my curiosity was piqued, and so I ended that day getting back on the ship with maybe 15 outfits, 7 titles, and a bunch of stuff in my inventory just from all the stuff I was doing.
I don't think anybody did as much as he did on Batu of our group. Like, we were lucky. Some of us were lucky enough that we got the missions, the Halcyon missions done. But I have an older phone, and the evening before, there were a couple of things I thought, oh, that didn't quite work the way it was supposed to. And that was one of the things on the first day, is like, you know, do a data pad orientation, mm-hmm. you know, before sort of the story started. And I thought, okay, it's fine. Well, when I got to Batu, I could not do anything. Like, it was not coming through. And Tom Gross had the same issue the evening before. And so Dan had said to both of us, go to services, customer service, and they will give you another data pad. So,
great.
You know, I'm on Batu, nothing is working. And I'm like, oh no. And I'm like,
of all the time.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I need a new phone. Are you kidding me? And so I'm thinking I'm going to have to go back onto the Star Cruiser, but there were crew members there in the entryway, and they had a little cargo case, basically a little suitcase, and had all these small, you know, iPhones in them. And we just put in my Disney MDE identification, popped it up, rolled with it. She said, put your phone away. You know, put your data pad away. Don't take it out unless you're going to take holos or something. And, you know, they're not photos when you're on the Halcyon, they're holos. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, but she said, do everything on this so that there won't be, and then I was fine. It worked great. So, you know, but it does, it, you know, propels you through everything. But yeah. And so now when we go over to Batu, it's like, oh, we need to scan some of these things. You know, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, we were just, I mean, I could even keep up with where he was at. I didn't even try. I'm like, I'm going to go do my own thing. And that's what everybody was doing. Like, you might see a couple people together here or there, but then you saw a lot of us just, we were just out by ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, just doing whatever the mission was that we needed to do. So, and you had to be back on, like, the Batuu opens up at 8:30 for Halcyon people, and so you could transport over whenever. And basically, your transfer, you may have seen this online, but it's a big box truck.
Really?
Because the house that the actual building is a little bit, it's right behind Batuu, but it's still a little bit of a distance. And so, you know, you had to get onto a shuttle to go from the ship down to the planet. Mm-hmm. So, but it was basically a big box truck you felt it too. I mean, you felt like you're in the back of a box truck, but it's also how you should feel if you're coming through atmosphere, you know, coming from space down to, you know, a planet.
Some turbulence.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of turbulence here and there, but they, you know, the inside of it, I mean, if you didn't know you were in a box truck, you wouldn't know what, I mean, it was very nice. And, but it, I think it maybe 10, 12 people at a time to transfer you over. So I'm then, and it took about 10, 15 minutes by the time you loaded on and got over there and walked through the pathway and got out. And the entryway, I know you did a thing on Galaxy's Edge a couple of weeks ago, but right where the TIE Echelon and the First Order Stormtrooper store is in Galaxy's Edge East, you know, of course, is where we're at, is this big open area, and that's your entrance in and out. I'm not sure what they're going to do with it now, but people will go in there and sit and get out of the sun is what they'll do
exactly
when the Halcyon's not on shore there. But I'm thinking I'm going to have to go back to the ship. I'm just going to take an hour out of my day. But luckily the crew member was like, oh, no, we can do that here. And, you know, then I was off and running again. But you had to be back by four. Like the last cargo or the last shuttle left Batuu at 4 o'clock. And you had to, you know, be on that last shuttle, be back. We got back in time for dinner, for lunch. We had done all of our missions, and so we're like, we're going to go back and we're going to eat lunch in the dining room and, you know, enjoy that kind of food. I mean, it was just fantastic.
Soak that up while you still can.
Oh, absolutely. I'd let, you know, and we're like, oh, we all want to go back just to have that food. And then, you know, then you were able to run around the ship a little bit. You had a few missions. But everybody had to be back by four. And we just kind of laughed. We were out in the atrium about 4:15, 4:30. And here come people through the off the elevator, the main elevator that you came up when you loaded, you know, when you left. And so the only thing that we could think was they missed the last transport and they had to get an Uber to come back, you know, because they don't, like, if you're not there for that, just like a regular cruise ship,
exactly,
they're not gonna wait for you. If you're not there, you got to find your own way back to the Star Cruiser. So we're like,
it's a bit easier to be lost in on Batuu than as opposed to, like, say, Castaway.
Yeah, exactly. A little easier to call for an Uber that way, but
totally.
Anyway. And then when you got back on, you had a little bit of downtime, but like I said, you could still do some of your missions and do some things and then dinner. And then once both dinner seatings are done, you know, then it's, you know, full blown, you know, the finale. But one of the great things that we were able to do because of our fantastic travel agent that we had, you know, she was able to put all of us together for the bridge training on the first night, where you go in and you learn how to do all the different things. There's like four different areas on the bridge to do stuff. And again, there's the storyline gets started, you know, up there. And then that comes into play then the next day when you might have to go on the bridge and help smuggle the TIE Echelon up there, you know, or help smuggle Rey on, or, you know, smuggle the coaxium that you got. I mean, there's just all the, you're fighting TIE fighters, you know, all these different things that you can do on the bridge the second night. And then when we got back from Batuu, I guess about what, 4 o'clock or so, we had our lightsaber training. And so it was a nice size room, 20 people fit in. And again, our travel agent had it set up with the Star Cruiser reservation crew that we were all in lightsaber training together. And the Sajas are the ones who do the lightsaber training. So you have a lightsaber, and it's kind of like the, you know, Luke on A New Hope when he's battling, you know. So, but there's these like beams coming out from the wall, and you're moving your lightsaber to, you know, to deflect them. And then you have a shield training. You have shields that you use, and so everybody, it's just like everybody takes turns, and you're all in there together. And the Saja at the beginning, he was saying his normal spiel, I'm sure, of, well, you may not know one another now, but after you have done your lightsaber training, you'll get to know one another. And we just all burst out laughing. And he's like, oh, what did I say? And we're like, no, you don't understand. We are one big group. And he's like, excuse me?
How did this happen?
from what we could tell and talking to a couple other cast members, we don't know that that had ever really happened before, that everybody in the lightsaber training was one big group. But he was great. He just, he kind of took that information and just ran with it, you know, when we were in there. And then after we were finished, we all got together on the other side of the hallway and took, I think that was the only picture we had of our entire group at one time.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
He took a picture of the entire group for us. So it was really, but he was like, this was really cool. Everybody already knew, you know, cause we were like taking pictures of each other and videos and there was another Saja in there helping him. And the looks on their faces were like, this has never happened before. So I think we gave them an extra little, you know, wow.
you blew their minds. They're like, this is possible? Holy cow.
Yeah.
I love the immersion that I'm hearing from both of you in terms of how this really plays out to being your own Star Wars story between both the Halcyon itself and on Batuu. And I also love the image that you painted of just everyone just kind of like seeing Chaz go back and forth doing various things. You're like, there he goes again. There he goes again. There he is. Yep. What's he doing now?
I slept pretty good that night.
I bet.
We all did.
I bet everyone was really tired after.
And then at least one day of it.
You either have to leave or you have to get up and do it all again the next day, which again, you're riding on pure adrenaline and just like the joy of doing this. So I can totally imagine, the feeling of being tired afterwards. At least you didn't have too far to go versus other people getting on like big car
rides. What was funny is most of our group, I think there were maybe only a couple people that actually left. Mm-hmm. I think some of them were staying a couple more days on.
I mean, you have to almost,
Disney.
Yeah. Who's to say like actually like staying at Disney and going to the parks is a reprieve from doing the Star Cruiser, but evidently it sounds like it's just time.
We were
10.
Exhausted. Yeah. We were exhausted.
Fascinating. Well, I want to be spoiled now. I want to hear about the overall story that you're supposed to get, this battle between the Resistance and the First Order that takes place while you're on the Star Cruiser. So if you can, Chaz, can you kind of explain or walk me through kind of like what the overall arc of story that I'm supposed to be getting if I did the 2-day cruise here? Like, what are some of the big things that happen story-wise?
Honestly, she's the better person to ask. She's got that on.
Fair enough. I know you've got notes, Mary, so to lay it on me too.
Copious notes, as my friend
said. Tell me what I need to know for canon purposes. What happens on this
well,
ship?
Basically, the story of the Halcyon is you are going on its 275th anniversary voyage. That is the story for every single voyage.
Okay.
And so the captain welcomes you on, the cruise director welcomes you on, but very quickly you have this lieutenant from the First Order who has, you know, barged onto the Halcyon, and they are looking for resistance. You know, it's set really between kind of the same time frame that Batuu obviously is set in, between Episode 8 and Episode 9 of the movies, right? And so the First Order are looking for resistance people. They take it's like an R2 droid. They take the droid hostage, basically. and in the meantime, we're trying to get Chewbacca on the ship. We're trying to get Rey on the ship. We're trying to steal coaxium to be able to go places wherever you need to go, whatever.
Sure.
I mean, it's just all these different little storylines as it goes through. And you have stormtroopers that are patrolling and on the ship. And the Lieutenant Croy is the main First Order fella. And there are multiple people who play all these different roles. Like, obviously, they have many different people. The only thing that really took me out of the immersion that when he showed up was because I had watched some of the videos. He was the original Sammy. And Sammy is your mechanic who you are led to believe is just a dumb mechanic. But he's really working for the resistance, and he's really, quite an intelligent, person. So he was the original Sammy. And I follow him on social media, and I knew he and his wife had just had a baby, and he had stepped back from the Star Cruiser, and then he's up there and he's the lieutenant. I'm like, hold on, so that kind of threw me out for a second,
right.
Where watching videos can do, but he is so good. And this cruise, he put up a thing on his social media yesterday. The cruise right now is his last cruise. He's not going to be on it for these next two. But, so it's all about trying to get the resistance information and data and like Chewie and Rey, from one place to another. It kind of like when you're doing Star Tours, and you've got who is the spy, who's the rebel spy kind of a thing. And then it culminates at the end, after both dinner shows or after both dinners have been finished, it culminates in the atrium with Kylo Ren coming on board and Rey being on board, because Rey's been there for a bit. We smuggled her on, early on. And Chewbacca and getting the droid free. So you have this epic battle along the top of the atrium. There's a balcony around, two full sides, the front and one side of the atrium. And, passengers cannot go up there. That's basically the stage.
Yeah,
and
okay.
So Kylo and Rey are up there. And if you saw the video back from a D23, three or four years ago of Josh D'Amaro holding the lightsaber lightsaber going up. Well, that's what it was for. And so when you first see Rey, she ignites the lightsaber, but she doesn't fight with that one. Like they never did quite get that that transition was a little wonky, and they never did quite get
it. I've seen that little video. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still a little wonky looking, but it is what it is. But it was great. It was like you're in the movie. At one point, Rey's on one end of the balcony and Kylo's on the other end, and he like force pulls her. So, she's on some type of something on the floor that's pulling her across, kind of a thing. But it looks like he's force pulling her toward him, and there's blaster fire and the atrium gets messed up. Parts of the ceiling come falling down. Of course, they're hanging on cables or whatever. Yeah. There's blast things in the on the walls and of course, our little Sammy, who everybody thinks is a dumb little mechanic, and he's this little introvert. He pops up and is sort of the savior. He's disguised as a stormtrooper and helps to take control of the ship back and that type of thing. But through the whole 2 days, all of these characters, like Chaz said, all of these characters have made connections with the passengers.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are times when the passengers are pulled in, literally pulled into the story. And it's crazy. These cast members, they remember you. And like both Chaz and I both had made up names so that we didn't put anywhere into any of our information. And the cast members remembered your made up name.
Amazing.
It was amazing. Whatever little tricks they taught them, you know, to be able to do that, I don't know, but it was crazy. But you get pulled in and depending, you know, at one point I was standing beside Wraith, who's kind of a little scoundrel kind of a guy. He helps smuggle things onto the ship.
He was also the main smuggler dude for the storyline.
Right. If you were a smuggler, that's who you connected with. And so the captain was giving him a rough time leading up to that finale and in the atrium. And I was standing pretty close to him. And she was like having him, you know, pull out his pockets and do all that kind of stuff. And I said, well, you might need to look in his boots. And he looked at me and he went, excuse me.
Oh, he called you out.
yeah, he did. And the captain went, yes, Wraith, what is in your boots? I mean, they just, like, that obviously wasn't scripted because I said it, you know, so they would just run with anything and everything. I mean, it's the level of, and they're equity actors, like the people who were doing all those are the folks that are called equity actors. You know, those are your performers. Mm-hmm. And the level of their professionalism and I mean, they're amazing. They're just amazing to watch. I mean, it's like you are immersed in the story. You are part of that story, and nothing breaks that immersion. I mean, they will not let anything break that immersion.
That's so cool. I mean, I think you paid for it too, right? Yeah. Paid top dollar for this. So like, you should feel like every aspect and every minute and moment of this 2.5 day excursion is a full-on Star Wars experience. So it sounds to me like they actually lived 100% up to that tall order that's placed in front of them.
They did. I think some of them have said that they had to step back, you know, for a period of time because it was, I'm sure, emotionally and mentally exhausting for them as well. But and inside the staterooms, you know, they were very much a space stateroom, and you had a little droid on your wall in a pad, and you came in the evening or whenever you came in, there might be a little light on the pad on the wall. And that would, that meant that she had something to tell you. And so she helped to propel the story as well. And at night you could ask for a lullaby. You could ask for a bedtime story. I saw some people, I had no idea that you could even do this, but if you let the reservation desk know ahead of time that you were maybe there on a wedding anniversary, she would renew your wedding vows.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's. And if you watch the last, not this past week, but last week's, not this week's, 'cause it's not on yet, but 2 weeks ago, episode 5 of Ahsoka, and she's laying in a bunk. And Chaz and I both went, halcyon, because it reminded you a lot of the bunks, you know, in the room. So, and you didn't have, again, you didn't have a window. The only window you had was this simulation, and you looked out into space, and you would see, you'd see jumping into hyperspace every now and then, or it'd be just regular space. Somebody said at one point, if you watched it in the middle of the night, that Purgle would actually float by. We never saw the Purgle, but yeah.
I hope someone has a video of it online now so that I can check it out.
I'm sure they do.
Confirm. Yes. That would be so cool to see. Wow. There's just so much. And obviously, I think we could do full deep dives on just about every aspect of this. But the unfortunate thing is that the Halcyon is closing at the end of September here. So, I mean, as much as fun as we've had talking about this and sharing your experiences on it, like I said, you will be only a handful of people that have actually been able to say that you've been on this incredible adventure, endeavor, experience, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's certainly more than just a hotel. Yes. So I want to kind of get your last thoughts on the Halcyon here. How much of a bummer is it, first off, that it is closing? And what do you think or hope that Disney does with the facility now? Obviously, it's just going to be an empty space if they do nothing with it. But, you know, Disney's good with about repurposing things. So, Chaz, what do you think that the Halcyon goes from here?
My mom and I both talked a few times about, like, maybe they'll, because there's the Hoop to Do review at, was Fort Wilderness?
Yes, Fort Wilderness, yes.
Something kind of like that, where they utilize the dining room, and it's like a, you make a reservation, you go for dinner, and there's like, there's a show that happens that is some kind of story, or you can just make reservations with the park, and you meet a cast member at the Halcyon loading area in Batuu, and they take you aboard for activities, whether that be lightsaber training, bridge training, any of those. Just some way to like keep the Halcyon, but at the same time, not as it was, but as something new.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that would be really... I mean, I'm all big fan of the idea of like it just being a story that a dinner time adventure, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. You get to see a dinner in a movie. Well, you get to see a dinner in a live Star Wars play out in front of you, which I think, you know, it's kind of what you're alluding to there. Yeah. Mary, do you have anything else to add on that front?
Well, Josh D'Amaro has said, who's the head of Disney Parks and Experiences, you know, he made the hint about a month or so ago at some conference or activity or whatever that there would be something to come.
Yeah.
But because it's a tax write-off, and I have no knowledge of legal things. I just know from what I've heard, but because it is a tax write-off, there is a certain amount of time that obviously they can't do anything with it. And I don't think because it is a tax write-off that it can ever come back exactly as it is.
Right. Yeah.
But like Chaz said, you know, we, and so many people online have talked about it as well. There are things that they can probably do. I mean, we paid to build a lightsaber at Savi's. We paid to build a droid in the droid depot. So, you know, having lightsaber training, having the bridge training, like Chaz said, having, you know, lunch or dinner in the dining room. You know, so even like with the lunches and the dinners, maybe they just go over and get transported up like we did, you know, not come through Batuu, but, you know, just go up into the main terminal and do the elevator up to the atrium type of thing. I don't know. They've hinted that there may be something, you know, more to come, but obviously they can't really say, I guess, for legal purposes.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's really sad is that during Celebration, you know, we all kind of, you included, we were all kind of talking about all the different things that were talked about at Celebration in London this year. And when I watched that panel, that Parks panel, and I can't remember her name, but the one Imagineer who said, please don't call it a hotel.
Yep.
And of course they hadn't announced that it was being closed. And they said, we have things that we have in the plans to change and to modify and to do. Stay tuned. And so I thought, oh, great. You know, but then what? A month later,
the hammer dropped. Yep.
Exactly. So I don't know if maybe some of those things, that maybe that's what Josh D'Amaro was talking about, that maybe some of those things that they were thinking about making changes to it is what they're maybe going to do here in the next, you know, year or two. At one point, I know they were saying that it was going to be like a 2-year write-off. But yeah. I think they backed off of that. I think they backed off to maybe just a 1 year. I'm not sure. You know, I didn't do any research on it, and I apologize to the listeners if I got it wrong. But we know it's at least a 1-year write off. So probably nothing can be even talked about until October 1 of 2024. You know,
right.
Disney has a fiscal year of October 1 to September 30, which is why it's closing on mm-hmm. September the 30th. That's the end of their fiscal year. So, which people are like, that's a weird time to end, but you know, that's how it is.
Business is as business does, as no one has once said, but I have now coined the term. It's so sad. And, you know, for a lot of people, it was the price tag, but for a lot of people, they were also saving up their pennies in order to do this endeavor. And, you know, it was only open for a few years, hasn't allowed everybody the opportunity who were actually trying to save up and to do such a thing. But, you know, if Star Wars teaches us about hope and optimism, and I think that I'm choosing to look on the bright side here and to see if there is a potentially bright future here for the both the, you know, Star Wars in the parks and for this type of immersive experience, and they will learn lessons from this, what worked, what didn't work. And I have a strong sense that they will utilize this IP in some way, shape, or form for this type of endeavor again in the future. And, you know, I'm just glad that we'll both be down in bright, sunny Florida to experience it as soon as possible that we can. So I thank you both so much for coming on to share about your experiences with the Halcyon and a little bit here to mourn its passing too, in some regards.
Absolutely.
So Chaz, where can the fine folks find you online if they want to reach out or just to share their experiences about the Halcyon too, or just to chat Star Wars?
The exact same thing my mom was going to say here in a second.
But he really doesn't get online too much like that as far as, but he's like me. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's online some, but not, but coffee, you know, the Coffee with Kenobi, the CWK Cafe, the two of us are on it a lot. So that's always a good place, to find us. And, you know, from there, you can always do like a private message or whatever. I'm on Twitter X some. at Mary_Purdue, but not a lot. And if you know, whatever, and I do some things on Instagram, but the CWK Cafe is the best place to connect with either one of us.
Absolutely, what a great plug for the CWK and the live show too, because it's a lot of fun over there. So everybody, all listeners that aren't already active members of that forum, be sure to go and join as you are able. So thank you both so much for coming on the show. We will certainly have you back on again in the very near future here once these strikes end. We're able to talk about some other things that are going on in the galaxy far, far away. But until then, I also thank the listeners at home for joining us for this episode. Of course, we'll be back next time next week with a brand new episode about something in the galaxy far, far away. Yet to be determined, but we'll get there. And until then, may the Force be with you and take care. Thank you.